Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, we're going to be breaking down last weekend's box office totals, and they fell way shorter than what we were talking about. We'll break all that down in just a second.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey, everybody, look at that. It is Sunday night, which means it is time for some box office discussion right here on Box Office Breakdown.
Yeah.
I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. You know what? I just jumped right past the whole thesis of the show. Because you know what this is? I want to go back to the main camera and say this because I skipped right by it. Because I was so excited. Yes, because this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we
prognosticate
about the box office that lay ahead. It's finally happened. Neil has come through like the champion that he is. Mm-hmm. And you know all my social media stuff. Follow me. You probably have better things to do. I understand completely. But let's turn it over to the real reason you watch the show every single week. That's Carrie Lane.
Oh, no. It's us together. You know, we're such a good show. And our third member as well, our invisible team member. Yes, guys, what's up? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And we will have a live chat up shortly. And so feel free to talk with us live. Otherwise, comment down below on what you thought of what we talked about.
That's right. And as Carrie mentioned, you know, he may be invisible in the studio, but not in our hearts.
Ha-ha.
Ladies and gentlemen, third member of our crew, Neil Plumley.
That's me. I'm actually invisible in real life as well.
Woo!
No one can see me. I'm like John Cena.
That explains a lot. Because I have never seen the elbow before.
I just exist behind a mic, and that's it. But if you want to find me, you can find me at THENEILPLUMLEY on every single piece of social media, I'm pretty sure.
Even Snapchat.
I think Snapchat.
All right.
I don't know how I set that.
Okay.
Yeah. Try it.
All right, just try it. See what happens there. And kudos, again, on the prognosticate.
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was nicely done. So, folks, you can always like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And when you go watch a video, don't just give it 1 thumb up. Throw in the double thumbs. Do it. Just double thumb that thing. And, of course, as Carrie mentioned, the chat's going to be up and running. So feel free to jump in. Share your thoughts about this weekend's box office or anything movie-related. We'll break all that down and more. So, of course, as we look back at our top five, I think this is going to be the general theme, at least for this week, and I worry it could possibly be for the summer, is that we're going to be seeing a lot of underperforming films.
Probably.
Neil and I, we talked about this a little briefly earlier today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we just, you know, we did a little box office chit-chat.
Oh, nice.
Yes, there you go.
Well, lovely.
I mean, we didn't have Carrie with us because she was off making films.
You know,
she wasn't just talking about them like us. She was actually making
world,
them.
Yeah.
So look at that. So actually, before we dive into that, quick update on your films. You worked on a couple more this weekend.
Yeah, so I'm up to a total of 8 films that I've worked on for this competition. I ended up being crazy and decided to make 2 films. I did a narrative and a documentary. And then I worked on Thank you. Yeah. I did a film yesterday, and then I did one all day today. Pretty much was there and then came straight here. And I was like, no, I don't know if anybody's actually filmed. Some people are still filming like tomorrow. Guys, this thing is due on Wednesday at 11:59 and people are filming tomorrow. And I'm just like, that gives me, I'm like, no, that makes me freak out. I'm like, that's nuts. And even today filming, I'm just like, you're going to have like no time for post and it's just nuts. But hey, kudos to the people still doing it. If you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, I'm participating in the Collaboration Filmmakers Challenge. You get 2 weeks to make a movie. You all got to be inspired by this quote. You have to help another team, and then another team has to help you. And and it's 3 minutes to 6.5. So, yeah. It's crazy. And so follow me on Instagram and Twitter because I've been posting stuff, especially on Instagram. I've been doing a couple of the stories on set. Though the last couple of days have been kind of busy, so I didn't have as much time to be like, hey.
Is this the end of your assisting other crews?
I think today was the last time I'm helping other people. I have tomorrow, I'm meeting with my friend who color corrected it, and then my editor will join us later because we had to do color correction. Like, guys, the movie process is crazy, all the different levels, because you go, wait, it needs to be color corrected? It's shot one way, and then color correcting, I'm like, it's a totally other, like, movie look to it. So that's cool. And then it's even just getting feedback, because we showed it to a couple people, and they're like, this tempo or this pacing doesn't quite work, so we're going to make adjustments. And so it's like you go through so many versions of it. And then for my own other piece, I'm going to have, like, a lot of editing. Though I didn't shoot too much for my documentary. I probably shot like a half hour of footage, but to trim that down to 6.5 minutes is going to be some work.
What is the subject of the documentary?
I interviewed my dad.
Oh, very nice.
So it'll be cool. I mean, it's heavy and happy.
Well, nice.
So, yeah. We'll see how that comes out.
Will you be doing a cut just for the festival, but then also
I might make it longer, just for
you to have.
Yeah, because we talk about a lot of stuff too, and so there might be a longer cut later, but definitely for the festival, I need to get it down to 6.5. Because it's even planning it out. Like I have this great driving sequence at the beginning with his voicemail over it, which is cool. Movie magic, guys. I was like, I didn't even know I had this. And I'm listening to my voicemail. I'm like, perfect. And then it's like, okay, 1 minute of intro, 1 minute of closing, and then like 2 minutes, like the meat of it. That's the point of what we're trying to get.
Oh, look at that.
And then maybe a little extra. We'll see.
Very cool. Movie
stuff. Because I know some of you guys have been like, wait, when you're doing stuff. So I am right now. But those will all be online. Probably after June 9th, because they have a screening in LA June 9th, and we find out on June 8th if we get in or not. Because that's the other thing, which is crazy with film festivals. We're all doing this competition, but you don't know who actually gets in until like the day before the screening, which is nice, because 1 year they didn't tell you.
Wow.
So you sat there like, please let my movie play. Which mine did 1 year, which was good. I was like, oh, please. Like, you're waiting for the beginning to start, but...
All right. Well, fingers crossed. We get both the Carrie's films in there.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Well, there you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to break down last week's top five. And the subject of our number one was also the subject of our box office bet as well. It was Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Underperformed at the box office accounts, yes. They were hoping it was going to do much better. Certainly Disney was, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The final came in at $69 million.
I think I said 80?
Yes.
Right?
Carrie said 80. Neil said 76. I came in at 70.
You win.
That's some good prognosticating.
It was. Yes.
I could just feel it, you know. I was on Stranger Tides with that one. So, yes. So
your ship didn't sink?
Jesus. You're turning against me. All right. My ship didn't sink. No. There you go.
Mine did.
So we'll be excited to hear Carrie's thoughts about this film.
Maybe next weekend I can go catch up on some movies. Because I'm like, oh no. Like, what was yesterday? Yesterday was 11 a.m. to like 11:30 p.m. And then today was 10 a.m. to pretty much right before I came here. So like 7. So.
Well, do you have tomorrow off?
Well, tomorrow's editing.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. So I feel like, next weekend you're right. Just go see Pirates.
I'll do it next weekend.
Just Pirates. Make that your main focus. Because I know, there's not like Wonder Woman or anything going on.
I know. Well, I replugged it last time, but if any of you are in the Los Angeles area, there is a Wonder Woman party on Wednesday in Santa Monica that my friends are hosting, and it's on Facebook. Just look up Geek Chic Promotions. That's Geek, and then Chic, C-H-I-C, and then that's on there. Also, I posted about it on Twitter as well.
All right.
Wonder Woman event, and I'll make sure to post photos on social media of my somehow cosplaying that. I have an idea of what I want to wear, but I'm like, let's see what that looks like later.
Oh, and pardon my correction there. I had 69 in my head. It was $62 million of Pirate Bay. So even less than we did.
Yes.
So basically we had two films, and as I mentioned at the beginning, kind of like the subject of this is underperformance at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that with Pirates. We had that again with Baywatch as well, which came in at number three, much lower than, way lower than anybody that was predicting.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
But given that there's going to be a lot of franchise films coming out this summer, I mean, there was reading an interesting article in the Hollywood Reporter talking about, are we hitting like franchise fatigue?
Could be.
Is it that point where...
It's a good way to say it.
You know, same thing too as well if you're taking... And that includes not to just continuations in a series, but also just adapting a property from one medium to another. So an example like, Chips, Baywatch. Both examples of films that really underperformed.
Mm-hmm.
And Chips did horribly.
Yeah.
Baywatch certainly didn't do much better. But given that it was only $70 million to make, even though it did 18 here internationally.
I was just going to say maybe internationally they'll do better.
Yeah, but Neil brought up an interesting point too as well too. Is that,
it's rated R.
Rated R, but you also have to be able to really bring it in America as well. If you can't really do that, then...
Well, different topics might do better abroad as well too. You know, because like Baywatch... The show before was this iconic image of what America, like these gorgeous people at the beach, and that's what they're like, right? In sunny, wait, is it California or Florida?
California.
Yeah, sunny California.
Been and sometimes Hawaii, since I watched too.
It. Yeah. So it's, you know, this image of it, which maybe we are too like, eh, whatever, it's not that big of a deal. We're used to that image, but maybe abroad, it's that cool image of what, you know, Southern California is like.
The well, yeah, and that article continued to talk about where the marketing for Baywatch really focused on Zac Efron and The Rock,
yeah,
which would be great for women, but in terms of the men, they really didn't market it towards them, kind of showing off more of the salacious side that you saw back in the that like the TV series where it's a lot of Pamela Anderson running in slow motion. So they thought maybe that wasn't quite marketed as well to men as it was to women. I don't know if that's necessarily true because I feel like the Baywatch, just the name itself, you. A guy would understand what you're going to be getting in that, even if it's not.
They had plenty of posters with the girls in their like little bathing suits, and they even had the girl running slow mo. There was a, I don't know what ad it was, but it was promoting it, and they had one of the girls, and she's like bouncing up and down, like up here, not here, and it's like purposefully bouncing her boobs, and then there's just like other sequence. So there is some ad out there that's like, here's the girls and the titties, like here's, you know, like that's
that what
they
it said
felt
in
like
the commercial.
No, but that's what it
that's
felt
what
like
they, that's what they should have said. I just right. cut right to it.
Aww, and, yeah.
Not only that, Frank, but I think straight or not, men do enjoy looking at muscly men, and to argue that point, I would say if they were overweight men shirtless on a bay, that would hurt the film. They got to be muscly and look good. And I think gay or straight, dudes are...
It's an impressive human specimen.
Yeah, dudes are going to be into looking at someone with muscle jumping up and down and carrying refrigerators. True, like they showed in that trailer for no reason.
Yeah, but
and,
I'm also worried
diving
that...
off of oil platforms for
well, see, it's like
no
bro cool, right? Like, oh, those guys are cool, and you know, you want to watch them because you're impressed, not necessarily like you're going to oogle them, right? As a man, I don't know the men on this panel.
Well, but I also feel like for Zac Efron, I'm also watching because I feel like his skin is going to split apart at any moment because he's just so.
You want to give him like five burgers or something?
That's why. That's why I'm watching.
A little bit. Yeah.
That's it. He's gonna turn sharply, and then his skin is just gonna.
And, Frank, we were discussing earlier, I think Zac Efron has that like bro comedy appeal.
Yes.
Like he had in Neighbors.
Yeah.
Where frat guys will be like, oh yeah, that Zac Efron kid's in it. Oh, he's cool, and then they'll go and see him do flips, and I think they'll have a good time.
I got a tweet from Nelden, one of our viewers there, and he expressed like, do you think the cast is going to suffer any credibility loss because of the underperformance of Baywatch? And specifically, I mean, the biggest names are Zac Efron and The Rock.
I'm shaking my head for people listening. No.
No, because I feel like, it, like you were mentioning, Niels, like Zac Efron has already been in this wheelhouse in terms of R-rated comedies.
Yeah.
With Neighbors, with what Dave and Mike Need, Wedding Dates.
Zac and Mary. No, that's the other one. Yes, The Wedding Dates.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like,
and then The Rock, he is so likable. Like, this is just a speed bump. I feel like he does so well otherwise.
Someone was kind of commenting maybe he's being in too many films.
Do you feel like you're in Rock?
I don't mind
oversaturation.
I don't mind, but maybe if people. Do you mind? I don't care.
For me, I enjoy watching The Rock, but it's weird. I guess it also depends like how it's being marketed too as well. Like Central Intelligence. I find myself not wanting to watch a movie, and that's only
that
of
one,
Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I was like, no.
Kevin Hart just doesn't do it for me. So that makes it even though as much as I love The Rock, Kevin Hart makes me want to stay away. Neil, are you a huge Rock guy?
I mean, I like The Rock. I don't really think that there's... I mean, there might be something to this oversaturation thing where he's just in, like, too many movies. I can see that argument because I can also see the opposite of that where, like, if, like, say, like, Paul Giamatti's in a movie, I'm going to be like, oh, cool, I haven't seen him in a little while. I might want to go see that movie. And then him in that role would be kind of refreshing because you haven't seen him in a while. But Dwayne Johnson, he's in, like, what, 3 pictures a year? And they're all, like, big tentpole blockbusters. I mean, the smallest one he'd done, I think, Frank, was recently was that one with Kevin Hart that you were just talking about.
Central Intelligence?
Yeah. I think that's the smallest movie he's done, and that was, even that was, like, marketed like crazy. There was bus ads and YouTube ads and all over the place. Big movie. So, I don't know. I mean, if Dwayne Johnson didn't appear in the next 5 movies I saw in theaters, I'd probably be a little breath of fresh air, but I don't think I like actively like avoid him in movies. I don't know. It's a kind of iffy thing.
Well, maybe he's not a draw anymore. He's more just like meh.
Yeah, I think he's a draw. He's more of like a it's sort of like he's like a commodity. You know, he's just like. Or no, I mean, it's that he's like not a commodity anymore. He's just in everything, so you see him in it.
But I also think like if they do finally make this the Dwayne Johnson Jason Statham spinoff from Fast and Furious,
that could be cool.
For that, sign me up. I'm right there opening night watching that. I'm jazzed about that combination of characters.
Now, is it more because you like that character and like their dynamic together? Not necessarily it's because it's them. A draw.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I feel like, you know, well, like Jason Statham, they do fun action movies. So, like, even if the plot's not great, you're still going to get at least some cool action sequences.
For sure.
Yeah, but I think, like, after this, I don't think The Rock, I mean, he's filming on Rampage right now. Mm-hmm. And he did a little shooting on this small little wrestling film that he's doing based off some family from the UK, I think. Mm. But I think it's going to be a little while before we see him back on the screen again. Oh, no, I'm sorry. What do we have? We have Jumanji 2. Duh. We got that coming out. Is that coming out the summer or the fall? I can't remember. So we got him coming up in Jumanji 2.
Yes, I've seen just the poster for it.
Yeah, it's coming out in the fall.
I like that all the men in the poster have pants and a shirt, and the girl's like shorts, which I go, fine. I can deal with shorts. But she has a midriff. I'm like, that serves no purpose whatsoever except for eye candy.
Actually, she said in an interview she received some backlash about that after the poster came out.
Yeah.
And she assures viewers that it does serve a purpose.
Okay, then fine.
She said it actually makes sense to the plot. So there's a theory that she is a young girl when she's trapped in the game, and those are like her clothes, and she doesn't have any new clothes.
I'm glaring through.
I don't. That's just the loosest explanation that the internet can come up with at first.
For anyone listening, I just was glaring right then. I was like, really?
I don't know what it's actually going to be.
I mean, that's one of those, like, literally, logistically, that I go, okay. But I'm like, really? That was their plot choice? Really? Also, because I have some kids' shirts that, depending on how old you were, I'm like, you can still wear them and not be like, itty bitty midriff. You're like, really?
Okay. Maybe her torso really.
And her clothes haven't deteriorated by then, if that's the other thing, too, of like, okay, if you've had it that long, they're in fine shape otherwise, except being a hair too short. And those shorts would not fit whatsoever. T-shirts, maybe. Ladies going through puberty, no. No. I'm like, no. Your hips were maybe narrow as a child, but those shorts are not going to fit later. Anyway, little things are just like, oh, it's just. And I love Jumanji. Like, that movie's so good that you're just like, why'd you remake it?
Well, it's not a remake. It's a continuation.
I know, but still.
It'll be interesting to see how they call back to the original film.
Albin's with me. Albin goes, I'm with you, Carrie. The explanation is lame as hell. I know, right? I'm like, really? I hope there better be something good. Like, there are times where you see a trailer or they say something about a movie and they're like, okay, well, they'll explain it. And then I can't even think of an example, but I know I've seen it once or twice where you go, okay, once they actually give their explanation, but otherwise you're just like, well, that was stupid. Anyway, rant done. Yeah.
So we've got Pirates at number one. Number two, surprisingly, we all had, well, Neil had Baywatch as number one.
Yep.
He went out on that limb, and I admire him for it. He was thinking like, oh, maybe $90 million for Baywatch.
Well, maybe, yeah.
I really did myself on that one, Frank. I gotta tell you.
You're rooting for the underdog. It's all good, man.
Right. You were so close. You were just off the actual box office.
Just a little bit.
I was off by like almost
70
million.
The
entire budget. Yeah.
So coming in number two, beating out Baywatch, was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 came in with another $19.89 million.
Okay, not... movie related, but not exactly. I don't know if you guys know, but the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride opened at California Adventure.
True.
Now, I don't know how many of you know how long the wait is currently, but my friend posted a photo from there, and you know how there's, I don't know if any of you have been to Disneyland, they have a little like thing that shows like amount of time, how many minutes. It was an image that had 300. That was not 3 hours. It was 300 minutes. So, yeah. You know, just wait about 5 hours to go ride Guardians of the Galaxy Ride, which is the same ride as Tower of Terror. They just changed the visuals.
Is that it? Is it basically the same thing?
Oh, all right. Pretty much. They had a couple. There's some really funny news clips, though. If you guys go look on YouTube, it would just be like Guardians of the Galaxy Ride, California Adventure, and like news. And there's very funny ones of like them videotaping the newscaster going, I'm riding the ride right now. And like freaking out. It's so funny. So good. That I was like, all right, that's enjoyable. But I'm like, I'm not waiting 5 hours.
No. There's no ride that I'll wait 5 hours for. But the gift shop, though, is selling some stuffed Cosmos, which dolls, as well as Howard the Duck. Those might be two cool things that if I ever find myself over there, I'd probably
My friend did show a bunch of merch. They're like, I'm not normally someone to buy it. But they're like, yes.
Yeah.
They had a Baby Groot thing. I'd probably buy that.
I feel like the Cosmo. It's such a. I was a huge fan of that run that he was first introduced in Guardians of the Galaxy. So to get one of him, that would be actually really cool. All right. So number three, Baywatch, $18.1 million. That was it.
Ouch.
Rough. Yep.
They got sand stuck in their bane suit. Uncomfortable. No, that doesn't work.
Coming in at number four, Alien Covenant. Made $10.5 million, a 70.9, pretty much a 71% drop from its first week. Look at that, Neil. Were you surprised that it took that big of a hit?
That's a big drop. That's
70%. That's pretty rough, yeah.
Now, what do you think this does in terms of Ridley Scott's statement that he could see this whole being another... He has like six films kind of like to tell this entire story.
I've seen a lot of social media posts of people going, just stop. No.
There you go.
I didn't see it, so I can't say.
But. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and I think we discussed earlier my opinions on Prometheus as far as, like, I thought it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I had a fun time watching it. I'll probably enjoy Alien Covenant when I see it, but, I mean, throwing my hands in the air gesture, I don't know.
Well, what do you think?
Just maybe try something. But, what else is Ridley Scott going to do, though?
Make something else.
He's doing Blade Runner again, and he's doing Alien again.
Yeah. But do you think the underperformance of this, and especially the huge big drop-off, that this, because it did get kind of shelved, was Neil Blomkamp? Yes, I think that's his last name. But he was going to do that Alien, his take of what Alien 3 was going to be, his reimagining of that. Do you think that also now brings up maybe people will be more excited to see Sigourney Weaver, Michael Biehn, reprising those roles, rather than going back to the past?
Oh. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's the only real way to do it.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but I think this also might tell the tale that maybe audiences, at least domestically, aren't quite feeling these franchise sci-fi movies anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting a little old.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need more films like Looper. I remember when Looper came out and everyone was like, we need more original sci-fi, but the studios don't want to do it. Maybe now they're going to be like, maybe instead of rehashing all these old ideas and spending a bunch of money on something that isn't going to give us a domestic return, we can try to do something new.
Only thing I didn't like about that was Joseph Gordon-Levitt wearing those blue contacts. It was so distracting.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Just because contacts never look right. Color contacts never look right. On a movie. Like, that's the thing I'm staring at. I'm like,
because
your pupils...
Because
your pupils don't change with colored contacts, and so it's so distracting to watch. It's just like, it takes you out of it. You lose... It's like, I'm sorry, it just doesn't work.
I saw Albin in the chat said that Ridley wants to do a Gladiator 2. Fun fact, they had planned... A Gladiator 2 after the commercial success of the first one.
Mm.
And the storyline would have gone with Maximus going to the underworld and finding out that his wife and son, who were brutally raped and murdered, were sent to the lowest depths because of how they died. And he had to fight through hell to get them back.
Yes.
Which sounds a lot like Dante's Inferno, basically.
Yeah. Right.
And if we can just make that movie, in the Gladiator universe, just make that movie with a person, like a normal character that you make up on your own, that would be cool.
Yes. And then I will acknowledge, because a few of you have called it out, they're like, where's the Latin Lover review? And I'm like,
She's been busy making
I've been
movies,
busy, guys. I know. I have, like, a few to catch up on. I have Latin Lover, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and now Pirates. But
yes,
I hope to catch up more now, but it's just one of those, I have no weekends. Because that's the time when people, that there you go. Just so you all know, of the small scale of most people when they're making movies, if they, like, that's if they have regular jobs, it's just weekends that they all can film. Because everybody's working Monday through Friday.
Because it's your movie time.
Yeah.
Watching movies, not making them.
But I know, right? But I want to watch movies. I'm like, hashtag first world problems. Too many movies to watch. Too many shows to watch. But anyway.
So I know Sky Patterson mentioned in the chat, too, that Alien 5 is canceled, which I do know that. But I'm just saying, with the underperformance of Alien Covenant, would they all of a sudden, maybe the studio says, like, you know, maybe we should try to push with a different person behind the helm.
It could.
Telling these stories. Yeah. I think people would genuinely be excited to see what he would do with that property. And maybe let Ridley Scott just serve as executive producer and not actually be so hands-on.
Yeah,
Blomkamp's great.
Yeah.
It was a shame when they canceled his Halo movie that he was going to do. Because all that previous stuff he did was really great.
You know, and Neil, you bring up, like, people are tired of these kind of sci-fi franchises. They want new original ideas. I feel like maybe where Alien stumbled, and this is Ridley's problem, is that he teases and he doesn't follow through with a lot of these ideas.
So
I think that is also irritating as well. I think that's, I think you could still, I think this series could still be viable if he just had somebody else overseeing it and telling a better story and not, he just teases these things and he, just the way he structures things out, it drives me crazy. But he shoots, the way he shoots stuff though, there are some beautiful shots in here. So it gets, you can't completely dismiss the film. It's very much like I feel about Prometheus 2. There are sequences about that that I still feel like, all right, I'd go back and watch it again. And I feel like the same way about this one, too. But it still, as a story, frustrates the heck out of me. Number five, though, holding on strong, Everything Everything from Warner Brothers, another $6.1 million into its coffers.
Yay. Now, good for them still being up there, for sure.
So now, internationally, though, basically what we're all talking about here internationally is The Fate of the Furious. Of course, we all know it's the eighth installment of the Fast and Furious franchise. It's taken 16 years. Imagine that, 16 years, eight films in the series, finally just passed over the $1 billion overseas mark. So worldwide, over $1 billion internationally there. And basically, it started off with a $443.2 million debut when it dropped in mid-April, taking the number one spots in all markets where it opened. And it's with a total of $542 million worldwide that weekend. It even bested Star Wars The Force Awakens worldwide debut with $528 million.
Interesting.
And then IMAX even gave it its widest release to date, and it paid off, giving the premium screen company one of the biggest openings in its history. Universal now has three of the top six international grossers of all time, including Fate's predecessor, Furious 7 at $1.16 billion, and Jurassic World at $1.01 billion. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, in some instances that I completely agree with that franchise fatigue, but then there's those singular ones like Fast and Furious that they can still
keep coming back. Yeah.
So I don't know what the distinction is. Well, actually, it was brought up with Pirates of the Caribbean. This article, again, I keep referencing this Hollywood Reporter article. I'll tweet out the link afterwards because it's an interesting read.
Do it.
But they said, unlike the other Disney properties, like the Marvel films, Star Wars, that the Pirates one has not really gotten that much attention and love and care in terms of making sure that it, you know, like the universe and the stories that they're trying to lead and the care for that property is really in place, which I feel like kind of shows in the Pirates films.
Yeah, it's one of those people, either they're going to be a fan already or they're not interested anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like 4 was such, and I feel like 4 was really pretty much panned by everybody. I don't really see a lot of on Stranger Tides, like people like, yeah, that's my favorite film in the series, or that it's even a really good film. So I just feel like that's an example of Disney not really, you know, having a firm grasp on this property.
Someone just mentioned, Alvin's mentioning Transformers. Yeah, see, the last one, I was so annoyed with the girl in that. Oh, we talked about that.
Transformers?
Yeah. Her and her boyfriend were just annoying.
Yeah. I don't know.
I just didn't care that much about them. And we talked about it's not so much about the bots, and we want to know more about them. And it's just like, meh. I mean, it's cool, but at the same time.
We'll be excited to see what happens with Transformers once Michael Bay leaves. And you have somebody else come in there and see what
is that after this one, then?
Yeah, well, if he only changes his mind. Which he could. He's done it before.
Michael Bay.
Yes. And I do like Michael Bay. I mean, I, you know, give me The Rock. Give me the, which I, that's one of my favorite action movies. That is such a great film. You know, even Armageddon, you know, I'm still a sucker for that film. So there are.
Now, Deep Impact or Armageddon?
I'll go with Armageddon.
Okay.
Yeah. You are, which one?
They both were cool. I don't remember specifically between them enough.
Neil, do you have a preference?
Armageddon. That's right. Obviously, sending drillers into space.
Well, of course. Yeah,
it's mindless fun.
Man, and you know, I get choked up every time that you see, you know, Bruce Willis sacrificing himself and, you know, sending Ben Affleck down. He's like, no. Oh, I get a little teary eyed.
But right. Frank, what you're talking about earlier with the franchise, people getting sick of franchise movies.
Yes.
I think that mostly applies to domestic numbers. Internationally, true. Franchises are hold pretty strong, but that's, and some people say like, oh, well, it's doing fine internationally. But I think what we were talking about earlier today is that that's still a problem, because if it's underperforming in the United States, that's a huge film market that you're losing out on. Pirates not making like 90 or 100 million in its first weekend is a problem for Disney, because that's a lot of money that they're losing. And I know a lot of people in the chat were talking about this, like, if a movie makes back its budget, then they'll probably make a sequel. Well, that's not necessarily true, because they also have a whole bunch of marketing, and you have a whole bunch of, not only that, but the people that put money into these movies, they don't want to have like an equal return. They're in it to make a lot of money. So John Carter, for instance, was a box office flop, not because it didn't make its budget back, but because it didn't make its marketing back.
Yeah.
Because it was also marketed terribly.
But it's actually a really good movie.
It was. I thought it was very good, too.
No, that's very true.
So, I think while it might not be a problem for international numbers, I think it's still a big deal with those movies that cost like $100 million plus to make. On the flip side, you have like the Resident Evil movies that Paul Davis Anderson made, and he made them for like $1 million a piece, and they each made like, I think it was like 120. No, it was over $1 billion for all six of them in like a worldwide gross. And he made them for like 120 million collectively. It's those are margins that people can get behind. But these pirates costing $230 million and making 60, that's not going to fly.
No, that's and there's also the talk about like how much Johnny Depp's personal problems also played into this as well. So but it, I mean, they do set up that there's at least going to be another film. It's supposed to be a trilogy, I imagine. So get ready. We have at least two more pirate films in our future. Hooray. Yay.
I'll probably go see them eventually.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about, like, before I was like, oh, I'll go see it in the theater. And then after this, I was like, maybe I'll just wait till it comes to me. But I think I still will go check out Baywatch in the theater. Why not? Throw, just so I can see Zac Efron and just split open. So I don't see like a human pinata and just watch a bunch of like watch a bunch of muscle just popping out of them and everybody kind of scrambling to grab all that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've got another box office bet coming up though, and there are two films in consideration. We've got Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, and Wonder Woman, the small, tiny superhero you may not have heard much of. Wonder Woman coming out. So those are going to be our two films coming out in contention. So, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to start hopping in the chat, casting your votes about which ones you'd like this, which film you'd like us to do our bet on. And while you're doing that, we'll do a box office rewind, where we're going to take a look back at one of the actors in our upcoming films this weekend, see how they did for their opening week, their opening series of films. And I said, well, if Wonder Woman's coming out, why don't we look at Gal Gadot? Now, just right
off
the bat.
Why didn't you include the Fast and Furious one?
Well, because basically, her character wasn't that big. Been in 9 films. One, Batman v Superman. 2, 3, and 4 are her Fast and Furious films. So,
okay.
You know, so I'm gonna like, let's skip those and go to the other ones that she's been into. Just so we, you know, talk about some other films. Otherwise, we're talking about, oh, did you like this Fast and Furious movie? So these are basically her non-superhero, non-Fast and Furious top 5 films, which basically are the only other 5 films that she's been in. But we're gonna break them down.
That's all right.
Coming in at number 5 on this list is Keeping Up with the Joneses. Came out last year in October, made $5.4 million. That was the one with John Hamm. Yes, I did not see that.
I didn't either. I watched the trailer and I'm like,
Neil, I heard it wasn't that bad. Neil, did you see it?
No, I didn't see it. It looked like it'd be fun. I just wasn't rushing out to go grab a seat at the theater to see it.
Yeah,
I'll probably catch it. probably like eagerly watch it once it hits like VOD or something like that.
Please just video yourself a little bit watching. I want to see what an eagerly looking Neil Blumley is when he's watching Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Oh, buddy, you don't even know.
This is happening, guys. It's happening. It's Keeping Up with the Joneses. Number four on Gal Gadot's list there of non-superhero, non-Fast and Furious films. It is Criminal. Came out last year, April. I did not see this film at all.
I didn't see that one. Actually, look at this. I'm like, I didn't see. Oh, no, I did see. Wait, Night and Day, is that the one with Tom Cruise?
Yes.
Okay, that's the only one I saw.
So that came out there. Number three for her is Triple Nine. Came out also last year. So look at the three films in addition to Batman v Superman. So four films for Gal Gadot last year. That made $6.1 million its opening weekend last February of 2016. Number two, Night and Day. As Carrie mentioned, the Tom Cruise, Cameron Diaz action romance came out in 2010. Man, for some reason,
I like Night and Day.
Yeah, 2010, man. It still feels like that. That's too soon. When I think of Night and Day, I usually, for some reason, always assume it's like mid-2000s.
Mm.
I do not, like, I was like, 2010? Wow. All right, that came out much later than I thought. But it made $20.1 million. That its opening weekend. That wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. Good action movie.
Yeah, the opening sequence there with Tom Cruise on the car chase down the highway and stuff. I thought that was well done. Where he's on the motorcycle and he catches up with her and stuff. That was pretty cool. And number one in her non-superhero, non-Fast and Furious films, Date Night. Also came out in 2010. That was the Tina Fey, Steve Carell film. Sean Levy directed that one. That wasn't bad. We got to see a little Mark Wahlberg in there, too, in a bathrobe. That made $25.2 million. And just have a long, extended like kiss between Steve Carell and Tina Fey at the end, where they're just making out on the front lawn of their house. So there you go. They made out for a long time doing that. So that was our little box office rewind there. But now we've got some films to take a look at and kind of do our top five for this coming weekend's box office predictions there.
I was going to add maybe some information because people are like, what is Captain Underpants? So it's based on a kid's book series. It's very successful.
Yes.
I was told that because I was like, I don't really know. But it's really cool that they have a theme song for it on YouTube and Weird Al sings it. And it's so fun because it's Weird Al.
It's basically two kids who they are known to be as pranksters in school. And the principal of the school says, you know what, you guys are too good of friends. You're pranksters. I'm tired of this. You know what I'm going to do to stop all this? I'm going to separate you guys. You're going to be in separate classrooms. They don't like that. And so they basically say, you know, if you do that, we're going to hypnotize you. And so basically they hypnotize him and they just say, you know what? We make you a superhero and we'll call you Captain Underpants.
And he's just in his underwear.
And a cape. Yep. That's it. So of course he has no superhero powers, but they hypnotize him to thinking that he does. And you get to see the wacky hijinks that happen.
Have you read this book too? Have you read the series?
I have not read the series. Trust me, I'll be seeing this Wednesday, though.
Okay.
I'm going to see a screening, bringing the little one with me to go check this out. So, yeah.
I don't have first-hand experience with it, but I know someone who has kids, and they said, like, their kids love it. Like, they absolutely, yeah.
She's jazzed about it. So, we'll see
voting's
what happens.
Voting's coming in hot. All right. I do want to say, the other thing, though, for Wonder Woman, everybody I know who's seen advanced screenings has been completely positive, super happy, and genuine. Like, they're not just saying this to be like, hey. No, they are like, yes. They're so excited for it, and they're like, I'm going to go back again. And
yes, I think the embargo's still on for the reviews, but they did allow it initial impressions on Twitter and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you've got Nicholas Scott, Greg Rucka. These are people that have been involved on the Wonder Woman comic books, being really happy about the portrayal of her in the film. So, you know, Greg Rucka, he's, if Greg Rucka is going to give the seal of approval, I'm willing to check it out.
Yeah,
so
there's definitely a lot of people that are part of the nerd community that are excited about it. So I'm like, all right.
Yeah. Neil, are you jazzed about the Wonder Woman film?
Oh, yeah. I already got my tickets.
Oh, nice. When are you going?
Saturday at the Arclight Cinema.
Cool. Well, look at you. All right. Very exciting.
I feel I'm going to run into the problem for Wonder Woman that I did for Beauty and the Beast. I'll be like, yeah, we're just going to go. They're probably already sold out, kind of.
Oh,
but we'll see.
That's true.
But maybe the following Tuesday or something, but we'll see.
Should get tickets sooner rather than later.
I know. Well, that's. I had to do that for another one I saw, too. Actually, for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I bought that one in advance, like at least a day or two, a day or two before, to make sure I got my seat taken care of. Yep.
So, no, I'm all for having DC having a good superhero film finally. Mm-hmm. So it'd be great.
Sure.
And especially if it's Wonder Woman, the first time that she's actually going to be portrayed.
Took them a little while to make a Wonder Woman movie, just saying.
So I'm jazzed about that. So now just as we make our predictions for next week's top five, just a note about Batman versus Superman, Batman v Superman, mm-hmm. to be correct. It opened it with $166 million last year. So Wonder Woman is going to be released in over 4,000 screens. Captain Underpants is going to be in 3,300 screens. So keep those in mind as we come up with our next week's top five. Of course, we have Pirates, Guardians of the Galaxy, Baywatch, Alien Covenant, and Everything.
Mm-hmm.
With these, I'm
going to go with Wonder Woman for number one.
Really going on in the box.
Yeah. All right. Captain Underpants, possibly for number two.
Yeah.
New Kids one, very popular series. Yes. Absolutely. And then just keep going down the line. Probably then Pirates, Guardians, Baywatch. Just bump them down. Because also Wonder Woman, we've had enough advertising and then enough positive reviews, or even people just curious to see how good it is, you know? Yeah. Like, even if people are like, well, I don't really care about Wonder Woman, but it's another DC one. Let's see how it is. Like, there's those people, too, who are, or maybe even the people who are like, I don't know. Oh, well, we tweeted about this kind of funny thing. I was like, we got a little bit. Oh, no, we're kind of at the end. But I don't know if you guys saw the Alamo Drafthouse had a women's only screening for Wonder Woman, and a lot of whiny men out there were like, we don't get to go. You're like, really? And guess what? They did a second. They're going to have a second screening of it just because they complained that much.
That's what you get,
like,
guys.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Oh, you don't like it? We'll do a third screening.
Yeah, sure. I know, right?
Yeah, guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Ken Jack says Wonder Woman, Captain Underpants, Pirates. I think you had the same idea as I did. Sorry, it went up faster.
There you go.
Got some numbers.
Yeah, Elo saying 170 million plus.
105 from Sky. Dean says 115. And then also agrees with my list as well. Oh, you're going to keep Everything, but you're bumping out Guardians? Okay. Ken says 95 and 45 for Captain. All right. Anybody, do we have our final count on what we're voting?
Oh, not yet. Oh, we still have it. Neil, do you have your top five for next week?
Yeah, I got Wonder Woman, Underpants, Pirates, Baywatch, and Guardians.
Ah.
All right. I'd be curious, like, how much of a drop do you think Pirates is going to have coming into next week?
I don't know.
It's still way ahead.
Guardians.
Of everything else on the list.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So even if it, even if it went like 70%, it's
Underpants
still...
won with 9 votes.
Really?
Well, because they're all like, well, you're going to go see it anyways.
Well, I'll be seeing it on Wednesday, so I'll be able to talk about it next week. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Expect my hot take on Captain Underpants.
Mm-hmm. Take one for the team, Sunday. Frank, and just have a wild prediction.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm going to play this in the spirit of this game because I should make sure you guys get a chance.
Wait, did you say your top five?
No, I'm going to. I can't complain with what you guys have already set up. So, no reason to disagree.
We all
kind
of agree. Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing our box office bet on Captain Underpants, the movie.
Well, wait, are we all saying number two for it?
We're all saying number two. Okay. Again, it's in 3,300 screens. It is a
kids' family
a very,
one.
There you go. A very popular child property.
And there hasn't been one recently.
This is his first one.
I mean, it's been a little while since we've had another kid one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Yeah. So,
wasn't one just last weekend or a little bit. I mean, the last one was probably Boss Baby.
Yeah. Well, Boss Baby. Yeah. And don't worry, folks. I know everybody that is excited about Boss Baby. There is a Boss Baby 2 coming.
Oh, boy.
So get excited.
Sardrew says 2026. That you can't pick two numbers. Pick one.
There you go.
Right?
I'm going to treat this
respectfully. Oh, wait.
So, 3,300 screens here. We all think it's going to be number two.
Mm-hmm.
A beloved child's property. I feel like the biggest thing is, like, depends on how much you think Wonder Woman's going to do. And you can kind of backpedal accordingly.
Oh, so Adelia Smurfs, but we forgot that. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Sky says 40. 20 says Legion. Let's see.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh.
I might go. This might be really high, but.
Oh, let's see.
I got
see
one
here.
Locked in.
You got, look
oh,
at you.
Courtney
so
and Ken Jack all say 45. Wingit says less than 35. Alvin says 30.
Well, big side topic right here. Yeah. Do we think Wonder Woman is going to, could it beat Batman v Superman's opening weekend, 166?
I want it to. I don't know if it will.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think the fact that Batman vs. Superman wasn't very good will have people like holding back on this one opening weekend until they get some confirmation that people liked it.
Yeah.
All right. So, gosh, I mean, I'd love for it to do that, but I mean, I'm guessing if I thought like one...
I would like it to beat 100.
Yes, for sure. I'd love to do... 125 plus would be great.
Be great. Just because it's one of those... It would show, like, look, a female lead superhero character, a female lead character can do well.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that. Like, how many people are going to be seeing that? That would
take away from Boss nobody Baby. In the chat is like, not going to be it.
I don't know. I think Wonder Woman might do like 85.
Really? Hope not. That low?
I you know what? I've gone high several weeks, Frank, and I've been wrong.
And now you choose this film to backpedal?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I don't choose it because it's Wonder Woman. I don't know. I don't want to.
No, it's fair enough.
It's everything's been low this year. Nothing. Has anything this year gotten to that? I mean, that's a crazy opening weekend. Batman vs Superman, 160. That's like semi record breaking.
No, well, wait. For, like, hey, the top five. Big new thing. Technically, a lot of schools are already out, and so now it's kind of summer. That's going to help too. Like, a lot of people are ending in May. So that might help with people going, all right, you got your number.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out.
I've been sitting here with it, too.
I've been sitting with it, too. I'm just starting to think, like, would the audience for Wonder Woman take away from the Captain Underpants? Or are they too completely distinct?
No, I think Captain Underpants is younger. Different.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think Wonder Woman will take some of the older child crowd
from Captain
Underpants. I see a lot of kids in superhero movies these days.
Yeah. All right. I guess I have a number. It's the one that kind of popped in my head first, so I will
go
with
this. It's kind of what I had to.
All right. Yes.
You got to say it out loud. Carrie.
45. We both showed each other our phones, and it was 45 on each. Oh, so we both said 45 for Captain Underpants.
Neil?
Oh, man. I'm at 24.
Oh!
Neil, man, you're conservative all the way around in all these films this week.
I'm playing it low, Frank. I'm playing it low. I took my chances. Now I'm going to take a chance on keep my head down.
Oh, okay. What was the number for that, please? Starfire says, I think Beauty and the Beast was the largest box office opening weekend this year. So what were those numbers? I forget. I know. I'm like, we did that not that long ago, but I don't remember.
Give me a minute.
All right, so do we also want to make a prediction for Wonder Woman anyways, too, just because?
Yeah, why not? Because we're doing that. I'm going to shoot for the moon. I'm going to say
125. Oh, bumped my mic in there. I know, I really want it to be over 100. Alvin, that's
Beauty and the Beast was 174, so I was wrong.
Okay.
That actually beat Batman Superman from last year.
Okay. Thank you, people in the chat, and Neil, on that.
Dean Bruce is getting really specific with $44,390,976. Look at that.
Okay, you went 125?
I went 125. I want to be hopefully optimistic.
I'll go 140.
Ooh, all right. Carrie's
I'll go 140.
I love it. I love it.
Are you sticking with 85, Neil?
I am. I'm sticking with 85.
Okay. Neil. So I got the high, I'm the mid, and you got the low.
I'm sticking with 85, and I would love to be proven wrong.
Right? It's one of those you're like, I went wrong. Yeah. Courtney says 130. Dot Duck says 90. I know it's one of those you're like, I really want it to, but we'll see. But the fact that it is getting good word of mouth already, I feel is good.
So, all right, just to play devil's advocate and all this stuff, say it does 90, does 80, does 85, like Neil was saying. Do you think people are going to look at that as is it going to be like a judgment against DC films in its just entirety for the DC Cinematic Universe? Or is it going to be like, we just don't care about Wonder Woman as a character and we don't want to really see a film about her?
I'll go for option C and actually say that it'll get looped into the trend this year of movies just underperforming just because people aren't going to movies for some reason.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Go with that, maybe.
All right.
It'll be one of those. It depends on how it does internationally and how it does the following weekend, too.
That's right. I feel like if it can do like 40-45% drop off, it does a little less than that, then I think it'll be a good sign.
We'll see.
That the word of mouth is good about that film.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, do we have anything else we want to say? I'm just going to open it up to you and Neil.
I think I'm good.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, actually, there. Speaking of like movie things, I'll be recording some voiceover. I'll be doing voiceover for one of the films, so I'm going to do some voiceover lines when we're done here, because we filmed some of them. They rewrote some of the script stuff. So they're like, can you send more clips? I'm like, sure. Hold on.
There you go. And she's also going to be auditioning for Boss Baby 2.
No. Sure, why not? I'd love to get a lead on that. It'd be fun.
Neil, anything for you?
Not really. I just landed a role in the Emoji Movie sequel.
Oh, congrats on you.
That's looking forward to.
Wait, what?
Other than that, no.
Say it again?
I just landed a role in the Emoji Movie sequel.
Please explain more. What?
I'm going to be Sarcasm.
Ah, nicely done. And actually, I will just end by saying, though, that The Storks is on your pay cable stations right now. So if you have a cable, it's on HBO or something like that. Yeah, HBO. So
okay.
I revisited Storks again over the weekend. So delightful.
Still good?
Still good.
Okay.
That's still him trapped in that... The glass
panels? No, the glass, yes.
Still funny. There you go. Okay. So that's Storks, man. It's where it's at. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this. I mean, why go to the wild? I'm going to go to like, yeah, why not? We'll go wild on this one. That's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown, folks. But the fun doesn't stop here. It just gets started. You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Do what Carrie says right there.
Thumbs up.
Gesturing. Yes. Double thumb it up if you can.
Yeah.
And Carrie, if they're watching this even after the show's aired, what can they do?
I know, right, guys? You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE.
And you know, you can also comment down below too as well.
Yes.
I know Carrie's a big fan of that comment, right? Stuff like that. You know. Yes. Yeah, you can talk about your favorite, what favorite superhero movie you're looking forward to this summer.
There we go. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, look at that. Me, I'm going to say Spider-Man. Why not?
I'm sure. Excited, yes.
I hope so. I hope it's going to be good. But you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Neil, where can they follow you, sir?
You can find me on everything. And I did check my Snapchat. It is the Neil Plumley. THENEILPLUMLEY. Hit me up there, I guess. I'm not really on Snapchat very often. But if you like it, you know, you do you.
Nice.
Well, we're giving you a reason to get more involved with this. Neil, all right? We're going to get you
there. I like it. Hey, that's I right. like it.
All right.
Yay.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat again.
Yes.
You make it so much more fun for us to do. So thanks for spending your night with us. We'll see you back here next Sunday night with another episode of Box Office Breakdown right here on Popcorn Talk.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.